Welcome to the Shir and Targum Parshas Devarim. The very first pasuk of Sefer Devarim, Parshas Devarim, Ela Devarim, these are the words, Asher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael. These are the words which Moshe spoke to all of Klal Yisrael. Be'eve HaYarden, on the other side of the Jordan, Ba'midbar, in the desert, Bo'arava, in the plain, Mol Suf, opposite Suf, Bein Paran uvein Tofel, between Paran and Tofel, v'lovan v'chatzeros, v'di zahav. So a lot of words in this pasuk. The Rashbam writes, v'fi pshuto, the simple interpretation of this pasuk is, that kol ha'nizkarim b'pasuk zeh mekomo sein, that all of these words which are mentioned here in the pasuk are names of places. So in other words, the point of the pasuk is to tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke certain words. Again, we're not clear what the words are yet, but he said these words to Klal Yisrael in multiple places. He said them to Klal Yisrael, Be'eveh HaYarden, on the other side of the Jordan, Ba'midbar, Bo'arava, Mosuf. In other words, all of the words that are mentioned here in the Pasuk are the names of places where Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed certain ideas, which we're going to learn about in the upcoming Pasuk. And that's the Rashbam explaining the simple pshat in the Pasuk. As I think is well known, Rashi writes, based on a Sifri, that the various places which are mentioned in the Pasuk are not meant to be taken literally in the sense of different places where Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed certain words to Klal Yisrael, but rather each place which is mentioned in the Pasuk is in itself a reference to something that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael. Rashi writes, the very first Rashi in the Sedra, Lefi Shehein Divrei Tochachos, the words which are contained, the words which Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed to Klal Yisrael, words of Tochacha, they were words of admonition. Umano Kan Kol HaMekomos Sheikh Isu Lefnei HaMokin Bohen, all of the places which are mentioned in the Pasuk are all places where Klal Yisrael over the last 40 years had angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu by disobeying him. And it's for that reason, because basically everything that's mentioned in this pasuk is Moshe Rabbeinu admonished Klal Yisrael Bamidbar, based on what they did in the desert, and Bo'arava, based on what they did in the plain, Mol Suf, based on what they did opposite Yam Suf. Each of those names carries with it a whole story of tochacha, of admonition. However, Bibne Kvodon Shal Yisrael, says Rashi, in order to preserve the dignity of Klal Yisrael, the Pasuk doesn't spell out all of these words of Tochacha that Moshe Rabbeinu said explicitly, rather it just hints to them by mentioning the names of these various places. So again, Rashi, in contrast to the Rashbam, again, and based on the Sifri, understands that every place name which is mentioned in this first Pasuk is really a reference to some kind of Avera, some kind of sin that Klal Yisrael performed while they were in the desert, and the accompanying words of Tochacha. So just to take a couple of examples from Rashi. Bamidbar, Bishvil Mashiach Yisu Bamidbar, Sha'amru Mi'itein Musenu. Right? When Klal Yisrael say, we wish that we would have died back in Egypt, when they say that in the Midbar, when they say that in the desert, so Moshe Rabbeinu reminds them of that after 40 years. And says to them, you know, that was really wrong. Bo'arava, shechatu b'bal pa'ar b'shitim b'arvos mo'av. Bo'arava, in the plains, is a reference to the terrible sin of shitim that takes place in the plains of Moav, as described at the end of Parshas Balak, the licentiousness which the Jewish people engage in with the Benos Moav, the Benos Midyan, etc. Mol Suf, amashehimru b'yam suf. That refers to how Klal Yisrael rebelled when they came to the Yam Suf, and as they saw the Egyptians chasing after them, they turned, at least some of them turned on Moshe Rabbeinu and began complaining, ah, you took us out of Mitzrayim, we're going to die, you know, so, and Kohenu v'Kohenu. Each of these phrases in the Pasuk is explained by Rashi, based on the Sifri, as pointing out a different episode in the last 40 years of history, and how Moshe Rabbeinu is admonishing Klal Yisrael for what they did. We'll see, this is all by way of introduction, we'll see that both Targumim, the Targum Onkelos and the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, to some extent follow Rashi. I'm using that term, of course, inexactly, because you know the Targum came before Rashi, but at least in terms of our presentation, right? We just presented Rashi. The Targumim, each one in its own way, is similar to Rashi. In other words, they're not similar to the Rashbam. Each of the Targumim understands the words in this pasuk as referring to different episodes in the history of the Jewish people, and the words of tochacha, of admonition, that Moshe Rabbeinu gives the Jewish people based on what happened in those places. We'll see that the Unkelus and the Yonasan ben Uziel are both different from one another. I think significantly different from one another. I'll explain that as we go through. And even though the Unkelus over here is very similar to Rashi in certain ways, there are also points of divergence between the Targum Unkelus and Rashi. Right? So with that, yeah. Right, so you say, you know, why is he yelling at them for what happened 40 years ago? It's a different group of people.
If you told them before they died, they would have maybe more qualified children.
Right, so it sounds like he's speaking right before they go into Eretz Yisrael, so then the question presents itself, why is he, you know, giving tochacha to the next generation? He should give tochacha to the generation that came before. Right. So lechara, that's the answer. In other words, you know, look at what your parents did, and you know, make sure that you don't do something similar as you come into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So let's take a look. Let's start with the Targum Unkelus, and we'll point. And again, I think it's noteworthy because the Targum Unkelus, as we've seen, tends to explain the pasuk based on pshat, on the simple understanding, and the pshat in pasuk certainly seems to be like the Rashbam. In other words, that all of the places that are mentioned here are not the content of what Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about, but rather the places where Moshe Rabbeinu said whatever he said. You know, the fact that the Targum Unkelus here is in Rashi's camp, so to speak, I think is very significant. It's somewhat unusual that here the Targum Unkelus is deviating from the pshat and giving a more alpidrush, or a more homiletic interpretation. Ilein piskamaya demalil Moshe im kol Yisrael be'ivra de'yardana. These are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to all of Klal Yisrael on the other side of the Jordan. Ochach yoshon. He admonished them. So of course, those two words, ochach yoshon, don't correspond to anything directly in the pasuk. Right, so Targum Unkelus adding those words in order to help us understand the pasuk. Ochach yoson al dechavu b'madbara. He admonished them on account of the fact that they had sinned in the midbar. Ve'al da'argizu b'meishra, and the fact that they angered Hakadosh Baruch Hu in the plain. In terms of what they did in both of these places, it's not as clear as Rashi says. Right, they sinned in the desert. That could cover a whole bunch of things. Rashi, we saw, mentions a specific instance where they said, "Miyutein Musenu b'yad Hashem," you know, halavai that we would have died. Perhaps, according to the Targum Unkelus, it's meant as a general statement. In other words, there were many times where they sinned in the midbar, and now we're about to enumerate them. Al dargizu b'meishra, they angered Hashem in the plain, in the Arvos Moav. That would seem to refer to what Rashi refers to, namely the sin of Shittim, the sin of the Arvos Moav when they, you know, were Mizana, when they acted licentiously with the Benos Moav. Lekovel Yamsuf, opposite Yamsuf, that also would seem to, on the surface, would seem to be similar to Rashi, who says that, you know, the references to the fact that a certain group of Jewish people regretted having left Mitzrayim when they came to Yamsuf. Then the pasuk goes on to say, Ben Paron uvein tofel velovon vachatzeros. What does that mean? So Targum Unkelus writes as follows: Ben Paron itapolu amano, in the desert of Paron, they said worthless things about the mon. So the Targum Unkelus is taking the word Paron and translating it literally. It's what they complained in the desert of Paron. The word Tofel, he's taking to mean not the name of a place, but rather related to the word Tofel, not Tofel in the sense of secondary, but something which is meaningless or silly. They tiflus. They spoke words of tiflus, of silliness about the mon. The mon was such an amazing thing, an amazing matana, an amazing gift that was given to them by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And here they go and they complain about it. That's bein lo, bein paron uvein tofel. They said silly things in paron about the mon.
So we say sometimes it's a place, sometimes it's not a place.
Right, sometimes it's a reference to a place, but again, it's always a reference to a place in terms of an episode that happened there.
I understand that, but sometimes it's translated straight through.
Right.
It's kind of odd. There's just some
symmetry. Right. So if you take a look in Rashi, Rashi here can help us understand the Targum Onkelos. Ben paranu ben tofel velovam. Amar Reb Shimon bar Yochai, says Rashi, chazarnu al kol ha-mikro velomotzinu makom sheshmo tofel velovam. In all of Chumash, we don't find any place called Tofel, we don't find any place called Lavan. Ela hochichon al hadvarim shetoflu al hamon shehu Lavan. Rather, it's words of admonition about the things, that the silly things they said about the mon, which was Lavan, which was white. So in other words, the way to read the post according to Rashi, and again, the Targum Onkelos seems to be going in the same approach, bein tarv, bein paran uvein tofel v'lavan. Right, in Paran, they said divrei tiflus. They said silly things about the lavan, about the mon. Okay, so again, it doesn't seem to be the simple way of reading the pasuk, but it's striking that Targum Onkelos understands it that way, probably because of the kasha that Rashi quotes from the Sifri, from Shur Bar Yochai. You know, there are, we don't find that there's a place called Tofel. We don't find that there's a place called lavan. But then, interesting, we find that Rashi and the Targum Onkelos deviate from one another. What's Chatzeros? So the Targum Onkelos writes, Uva Chatzeros argizu al bisra. We do find a place called Chatzeros in the Torah. We find it mentioned at the end of Parshas Baloscha. So in Chatzeros, the Jewish people angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu by asking for meat. Now, the Chizkuni over here asked the following question. He says, that's not actually accurate. If you look in Parshas Baloscha, when they asked for meat from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they got the meat, and they ate the meat, and they died, so the Torah tells us explicitly that was in a place that was named Kivros HaTava, right? The graves of desire. And it was named Kivros HaTava because they were misava, they desired this meat, and that led to their untimely ends. And the Pasuk says they left Kivros HaTava and then went to Chatzeros. So in other words, the whole episode with the meat didn't happen in Chatzeros, it happened in Kivros HaTava. So the Chizkuni then has a kasha on the Targum Onkelos. How can the Targum Onkelos say that the episode with the meat happened in Chatzeros? So he suggests that Chatzeros was a well-known place. Kivros HaTava, as the Pasuk itself indicates, wasn't the place that really had a name before that. It was named Kivros HaTava because of what happened. So to speak, Kivros HaTava, you know, to say it not entirely accurately, but just to understand it, Kivros HaTava was a suburb of Chatzeros. It was right outside of Chatzeros. So, loosely speaking, the Pasuk refers to Chatzeros as the general area where the story with the meat took place. But in point of fact, it was actually a little bit outside of Chatzeros and Kivros HaTava. It's interesting to note that Rashi avoids this kasha, and here Rashi deviates from the Targum Onkelos. Now again, we've pointed out on many times, Rashi very often refers to the Targum Onkelos, and sometimes he'll just say the pshat in a pasuk is kitargumo, like the Targum. Here it's noteworthy that he deviates from the Targum Onkelos, and presumably he does so because of the kasha that the Chizkuni has. Rashi has two pshatim, what Chatzeros means. Number one, v'machlokoso shel Korach. Right? Chatzeros refers to the rebellion of Korach, which according to Rashi, took place in Chatzeros. Right? So by the way, I don't know that it's such a chiddush necessarily, but we've noted in the past, there's a machlokas, the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, as to when exactly the rebellion of Korach took place. The Ramban writes that in general, unless the Chazal tell us otherwise, you know, the Torah, generally speaking, is laid out in chronological order. So in other words, the story of Korach takes place after Parsha Shlach, which is the story of the Meraglim. The Ibn Ezra takes the statement of the Gemara Psachim, Ein Muktam U'Mu'uchar BaTorah, that there's, you know, there isn't necessarily chronological order in the Torah, and the Ibn Ezra applies that much more freely. He basically says, in general, you know, you can never assume that things are in chronological order in the Torah unless you absolutely have to assume that. So the Ibn Ezra suggests that the rebellion of Korach took place right after the Chet HaEgel, when the Levium were designated to be the Ovdei Hashem, those who would serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of the Bechoros, instead of the firstborn. So there was a natural rebellion on the part of some people. The Bechoros felt that the Bechara was taken away from them, that the Avoda was taken away from them. And there was a feeling that Moshe and Aaron were showing favoritism towards their own family. You know, they were raising the Levium up on this pedestal. So that, says the Ibn Ezra, led to the Machlokas of Korach. It's clear Rashi over here would disagree with that Ibn Ezra. Again, I don't know if that's such a chiddush, but, it seems to emerge from over here. Because Rashi clearly says that the rebellion of Korach happened in Chatzeros, which was a place that the Jewish people only traveled to by the end of Parshas Baloscha. So back in Parshas Kisisa, when the Chet HaEgel takes place, the Jewish people are nowhere near Chatzeros, and clearly the rebellion of Korach didn't take place at that time, according to Rashi. Dover Acher, another pshat in Chatzeros, Omar Lohem, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, "Hoye lochem lilmo b'mashal sisi l'miriam b'chatzeros b'shvil lashon hara." What is the reference to Chatzeros? The reference to Chatzeros is how Miriam spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu in Chatzeros and was punished. Now, the advantage of this pshat is that the Torah tells us explicitly that that actually happened in Chatzeros, right? So they were encamped in Chatzeros until Miriam finished her period of being isolated outside of the Machaneh. So that's an advantage of the pshat. We actually know that that happened in Chatzeros. On the other hand, that's not something that Klal Yisrael did, that's something that Miriam did. So, you know, how can Moshe Rabbeinu give Musar to Klal Yisrael that Miriam did something wrong? Okay, well, what's that got to do with me? I'm not Miriam, right? So the answer is, according to Rashi, he's giving that Musar, you should have learned from Miriam and what happened in Chatzeros. Right, but I guess it's different when you're talking on the national level versus, you know, we're going to hold the whole people accountable for what one person did. You know, that seems a little bit odd. You know, so that's why
he was one of the leaders of the...
Yeah, because you can't really fault the rest of the people for whatever Miriam did. You know, that was out of bounds. So that's what Rashi is saying, that, you know, I'm not yelling at you for what happened in Chatzeros. I'm yelling at you that you didn't learn from what happened in Chatzeros. But again, either of these two pshatim is different from the Targum Onkelos, who understands that Chatzeros is basically the same as the Kivros HaTava. Finally, the last place, quote unquote, that's mentioned in the pasuk is V'di Zahav. Writes the Targum Onkelos, V'al de'avadu egel de'dahav. Right, di Zahav, that which is from gold, is a reference to the Egel Azov, and on that point, Rashi also comes back and rejoins the Targum Onkelos. Ochichon al ha'Egel sha'asu b'yishvil rov zahav shahaya lohem. Right, he gave the Musar on the Chet HaEgel. Right, so again, mostly the Targum Onkelos and Rashi are in lockstep in terms of explaining this pasuk, with the sole exception, really, of maybe two exceptions. You know, what Bamidbar means and what Bechatzeros is referencing. The Yonason ben Uziel also understands most of what's being described here in the pasuk as words of Musar, but I think we'll see there's a very significant change between the Yonason ben Uziel and the Targum Onkelos. Ilein piskame ochachusa. These are the words of Musar of admonition, the Malil Moshem Kol Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to all of Klal Yisrael. Kene finun levose. He gathered Klal Yisrael to him. Karhavun be'ivrid the Ardeno, when they were on the eastern side of the Jordan. Oneva Omar Lahon, and he spoke to them and said, "Halo b'madbara b'tavro de Sinai, is it not true that in the Midbar, in the desert, at Har Sinai, is Yahavis Lachon Oraisa, the Torah was given to you?" Now, again, let's just pause here for a moment and see how the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel is significantly different than the Targum Onkelos and Rashi. Ba Midbar, which according to Rashi and the Targum Onkelos means he gave them Musar on what happened in the Midbar. Here, the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel is recalling an incredible event that happened in the Midbar. What happened in the Midbar? The Ribbono Shalom gave us the Torah. He gave us the Torah at Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. How could you possibly misbehave after that? Uve Meshrayu de Moav, in the plains of Moav, is Parshas Lechon. It was explained to you. The Torah was explained to you. What does that mean? So first of all, he's taking the word Bo'arava, which according to Rashi in the Targum Onkelos is, again, words of Tochacha. He's giving them Musar, according to Rashi in the Targum Onkelos, and the Maisa of Shittim. The Yonos of Uziel says, no, that's not what he's talking about over here. Right here, the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, Ba'arvos Moav, in the plains of Moav, Ho'il Moshe Be'eres HaTorah Azos. Moshe Rabbeinu begins to explain the Torah. So in other words, in a sense, he doesn't quite say it like this, but I think it's correct. In a sense, if the Torah Shebiksav is given at Har Sinai, the Torah Shebaal Peh is given in the Arvos Moav. Now again, that's an inexact statement because clearly you can't separate the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebaal Peh so neatly from one another. You know, they are intertwined with one another, but much of the Torah Shebaal Peh is explained to Klal Yisrael here, Ho'il Moshe Be'eres HaTorah Azos, as per the Yonos HaMen Uziel. So in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, you have no idea how lucky you are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the Torah at Har Sinai, and it was explained to you in the Arvos Moav. And Kama Nisinu Frishon Avad Lachon Kodesha Baruch Hu. Look at how many Nisim V'Niflos, how many miracles HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for you. Mizman Davartun Algeif Yamud the Suf, from the time that you crossed over the Yam Suf. So again, going back to the Pasuk, Mol Suf, once again, is not a criticism of what they did at Yam Suf. Rather, it's expressing how thankful the Jewish people should be that they saw Nisim V'Niflo starting with, you know, Kriyas Yam Suf. What was so striking about Yam Suf? The Avad Lachon Istirat Lachol Shivta V'Shivta. An avenue for each shevet was made when the Yam Suf was split. So again, this is an idea that we find often in Chazal, but it's interesting to note that the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says, what was the big maisa, what was the big miracle of Kriyas Yam Suf? That every shevet had its separate avenue, every shevet had its separate path through the Yam Suf. Why is that the outstanding thing of Kriyas Yam Suf? I would think the outstanding thing of Kriyas Yam Suf is that the Jews managed to escape and the sea split, you know, 12 parts, 7 parts, you know, 9 parts, what do I care how many, okay, so, you know, so maybe the B'nai God would have to walk with the B'nai Naphtali. I mean, you know, if that would happen, it would still be a miracle, right? Well, what's the, so it could be, I mean, again, the right, so the Ramban references the following idea in Parshas Beshalach. The, you know, the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a wind blow the entire night before the sea split. What was the point of having the wind blow the entire night before the sea split? So the Ramban says, this way, if a person's a skeptic, you know, he can say, it's not the Ribbono Shel Olam, it was a natural occurrence, it happened to work out well. Right? You know, if Moshe Rabbeinu had his almanac and he knew that there was going to be a big wind at that time and he knew the sea was going to split anyway. So, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always leaves room for the skeptic to say, yeah, you know, it's not the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's Mother Nature, whatever Mother Nature is exactly. Right? You know, the guy who's looking for the parking space, right? You know the old story, right? He says, Ribbono Shel Olam, if you give me a parking space, I'm running late to this important meeting, I'll do anything, I'll daven, I'll learn, oh, never mind, I just found the space, right? So, you know, that kind of approach. But, so that's, okay, if the sea splits, stam, you know, and just moves to one side, you could say that. But for the sea to split into 12 different parts, it's pretty hard to claim that that's just Mother Nature, right? So, you know, maybe that's what the Yonos HaMen Uziel is bringing out over here. You know, you saw Nisim that are undeniably Nisim. There's no way to explain that as a function of nature. It split into 12 parts. Why on earth would it split into... What science would indicate that it would split into 12 parts? It's clearly something supernatural. Right? So that's something which was brought out under those circumstances. So the words Bamidbar Ba'arava Mol Suf are expressing all the things that Klal Yisrael need to be grateful for. Va'atun Sitesun Ribasar Memre. But you, continuously honest, Amen Uziel, you've deviated, you've left the path from Hashem. Vargeistun Kodomai Kadomoi, and you angered him. Where did you do that? Biparon Al Memra Alalaya. In Paron, you had the sin of the Miraglin. Right? So whereas Rashi and the Targum Onkelos understand Paron as a reference to the Mon, here he references the Miraglin. Interestingly, according to Rashi and the Targum Onkelos, the Miraglin, which you would think is the biggest sin ever, is not referenced at all in the Pasuk. Very, very interesting. Utfaltun Aloi Mile Shikra, and you said silly words that were false against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bisra'amtum amana to achis l'chon chivor min shamaya, and you complained about the mon that came down in a white color from Shomayim. So, again, he's explaining these words somewhat like the Targum Onkelos, but differently. Ben Tofel is a reference to Dvarim Tfelim, silly words, stupidities that you said about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without really being too specific. Lavan is a reference to the Mon, right? It's something white that came down from the heavens. V'shayelten Bisra B'chatzeros. And here, like the Targum Onkelos against Rashi, he says, Chatzeros is a reference to the request for meat, the Kivros HaTaiva. And again, you have the same question of the Chizkuni that we had on the Targum Onkelos, and the same answer of the Chizkuni. Right? Kivros HaTaiva and Chatzeros are next to one another. Then the end of the Pasuk is very striking. The end of the Pasuk ends off, V'di Zahav, which we saw both Rashi and the Targum Onkelos say is a reference to Egel HaZahav, comes the Yonah Saman Uziel, and he says very differently. Really, based on all of these sins that you did after seeing the miracles and experiencing the tovos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have really destroyed you, Cholila. He should have taken you out of the world. But Hashem remembered the schusim, the merits of your righteous forefathers, the schus avos, umashkon zimna, va'aron kiyama umane kudsha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked favorably on the fact that you built the Mishkan and the Aron and all of the kalim of the Mishkan, the chapisun dahava sinina, that you covered over with the purest gold, the chapar l'chon achovas egel dahava. And in the schus of the golden Mishkan, right, and it was the Mishkan that had so many golden kalim in it, so that served to atone for the cheto egel. So, in a sense, the Yonasan ben Uziel leaves us with a little bit of a feeling of hope and positivity that we didn't quite have, you know, with Rashi and the Targum Onkelos reading the Pasuk. According to the Rashi and the Targum Onkelos, everything in the Pasuk is a clap over the head. You did this, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did that. According to the Yonasan ben Uziel, yeah, there's a lot of head clapping going on in the Pasuk. That's 100% true. But the last two words, di zahav, is the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel coming and saying, but look, you redeemed yourselves, at least in part, by making the Mishkan with all of its golden kalim. That was an antidote, that was a kapara for the Cheto Egel, and at least we can move on and continue based on that mitzvah which you performed. Right? It's a little bit of a more positive note that we finish off with. Tomorrow night, Be'ezus Hashem, I'm not going to be here, so everyone should chazer. We'll pick up Be'ezus Hashem on Tuesday night. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Omer, Ratzah, Kodesh Baruch Hu.